baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our East co-host. Goes, Thursday, October 10th. Fun week so far, and we still got fights coming up in a couple days.
Fun week, but it's been brutal, dude. Brutal. My sports teams are getting slapped around left and right, dude.
Well, we'll definitely cover that. I figured we're going to divide the show in three. We're going to talk about our field trip to El Segundo, to Tyson's Ranch, to be more exact, for the Dominance MMA Media Day. We're also going to talk about UFC on ESPN Plus 19, which is headlined by, we think, Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Michelle Waterson. And, of course, got a lot of news nuggets. Actually, there's a lot of news nuggets to talk about, mostly in MMA, but a few outside of MMA. And you know us, we love, like Goz just said, we love all the sports out there, pretty much all of them. And yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. So buckle up, junkies. Here we come.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. All right, here we go. So let's talk about Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Michelle Waterson. I think you guys could sense the sarcasm when I said that's kind of what should go down on Saturday. Look, that's a quality main event. You know me. Sometimes I've been a detractor of WMMA, women's MMA. But I've always said within each division, there's at least a half dozen to a dozen young ladies that I appreciate and feel like I'm watching high-level MMA. They can do it all. I'm on the edge of my seat. These two definitely qualify. And the strawweight division has further than just a dozen. I'd say they might even go 20 deep. But regardless, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the former champion, very polarizing figure. She basically was just a nice young killer. We met her before she was even like the superstar that she is. But along the way at becoming champion, I just think she kind of took the baton from Rousey and got a little bit of a swag to her, some cockiness. And so right now, I think she still thinks she's champ, even though she isn't. She usually explains it in a way where in her mind, she's the champion. She just, the belt doesn't define her, but she just kind of, I mean, really, really has a little bit of an attitude at times. And so let me explain what happened. Like I said, we went on a field trip on Tuesday to Tyson's Ranch, but I think as we came home and started to decompress, the big story was that this fight may fall apart due to the fact that Joanna Jędrzejczyk apparently, allegedly, had gone to UFC officials last week and said, hey, I don't think I'm going to make 120. And so just to catch us up, because remember, this is just a 30-minute podcast. We're going to go quick here. She was basically saying, I can make 120. Again, the allegations go. And Michelle Waterson was offered options of even, hey, how about Dern or Rebus? Or you versus Andrade at UFC 244 on November 2nd, excuse me. Or you just take this catch weight. Actually, the first thing they told her was, would you take the catch weight? Catch weight. She said no. And that didn't surprise me, Goz, because what's one fight we often talk about? When we talk about women's MMA, if you want to see an exciting fight, back in the day, it's that Invicta fight between her and Jessica Penne at the Atomweight, 105. Remember they had a classic?
Yeah, it was great. It was one of my favorite female fights of all time.
Right, at 105 pounds. So we've always known her to be an undersized. And guess who just fought for the flyweight title prior to this fight right here 10 months ago? Joanna Jędrzejczyk, which means she is a bigger strawweight. So I understand now why Michelle Waterson's going, I don't think so, because that means Joanna, well, she already knew Joanna was going to rehydrate. Once they both weighed in at 115 or 116, she knew that Joanna was going to rehydrate way bigger. And I think at this point, to not make her go through the agony, hey, look, you're going to be the bigger fighter. Okay, as long as you make 115, I can live with that. But you're also going to rehydrate to a much bigger person, and this is what we agreed to. So she stood up for herself. Start with that. What did you think of that?
I think it's good that she did that. I think you can only do that, unfortunately, in this sport to a certain extent. In other sports, you can stand up for yourself and you can kind of stick to it because of unions that protect you. Here, it's kind of like, I think you have so much wiggle room, but then after that, the organization can kind of make you pay in other ways.
Right.
And she's a good person. She's a great fighter. I'm glad that she stuck up for herself, but I hope she doesn't take this too far either.
Right, because like you said, first of all, the UFC is concerned about, hey, we got to have a great Tampa show. This is our main event. People paid money to come out here, and probably not all tickets are sold, so I'm sure they want that just to go off. And at the same time, that division's just had a lot of like turnover, you know what I mean? Like Rose, Nama Yunus, Jessica Andrade, Weili Zhang, and then there's all the contenders, Calvillo, Gadelha, yes, she still has both feet. Joanna, of course, you know, and then all the up-and-comers that are coming through, like even the other two young ladies I mentioned earlier, Dern and Rebus. So, yeah, I guess there's not many cards to play. And remember, Michelle Waterson, she's not a spring chicken, mm-hmm. All right? We've often referenced the 2007 reality show, Fight Girls, right?
Yeah.
Fight Girls. It was a Muay Thai-based show, but what I'm saying is we've known of her in combat sports for a long, long time. She's already a mother, and so this is her run. So, yeah, she's got to play this hand carefully. And we're taping here at 6 a.m. on a Thursday, so by tomorrow, we'll find out if she's going to weigh in. So our young Mike Bond is out there. He's asking Joanna about this, and she was defiant in her answers. Like, first of all, saying, and this is as of yesterday, hey, it's not Friday yet. I haven't missed weight. And then as Mike tried to get more info out of her, like, well, where did this start? You know, where did this rumor start? And do you plan on making weight Friday? She kind of just didn't really give a direct answer. She hinted towards that she'll get it done. But still, you know, you could see she was upset about all this.
Yeah, she wanted nothing to do with that line of questioning. As a professional athlete, you still have to answer the questions. You have to answer what's going on. But there's this little bit, like you mentioned, almost like a Ronda-esque swag to her. Where if you were to eliminate that from her game, I don't know that she'd be as fun as she is. And I don't know that she'd have as many fans as she does. So it kind of works for her. But the truth is going to come out and she's going to have to answer to it at some point. So if it is true, I would say just answer to it now than having to deal with it later on. But we'll see. She's right. It's not Friday yet. So we'll see what happens.
You're right, because you might as well shut it down and leave it at that. Rather than, you know, I don't know if her rounds of interviews are done yet or not, but yeah, I think mm-hmm. that's one thing she could do and just not worry about social media or anywhere else, because from what we heard, remember all these allegations or whatever, no one seems to really confirm it. I think it started off at ESPN, but it was her approaching the UFC saying, hey, look, this is not going well.
Yeah.
So, all right. Again, tomorrow's the official weigh-in, local time. It's usually like 8 or 9 a.m. They have that two-hour window. And then after that, there's still options. Look, Michelle Waterson might take it. Who knows? Maybe she gets down to 117, 116 and a half. I don't know. But one thing Michelle Waterson is eligible to get is some extra dough. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of an incentive. You get to fight. And I believe that with Michelle Waterson already fielding the options the way they are, I'm not so sure she would get paid, goes, if she doesn't take some of the options. Because they're giving her options of, hey, well, we can do something next month. You know what I mean? It's not always a slam dunk that the fighter at least gets the show pay. This right. is one of those where I believe it would come down to a coin flip depending on what options she was given. And we'll never get the whole story. We'll get both sides, but we'll never get the whole story.
But that would be a hell of a message for the UFC to send if they didn't pay her. I think they're going to get a lot of backlash for that.
Well, but they offered her options.
Yeah, but the scenario that she's in is a little bit different than some of the other ones.
They're saying, well, you do the catch weight. We still want to put on the fight. No, she's bigger. Okay, we get it. Now here are our options with these two. No, I don't want it. I'm bigger than that. I want Joanna. But wait, you just turned down Joanna, and Joanna's messing up. Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, I just feel like it's not one of those slam dunks. Now, because let's say we didn't know anything. And tomorrow, first of all, Michelle weighs in. Everyone, hey, golf clap. You know, she's there. She's already at the little fruit stand or whatever and rehydrating. And then Joanna comes in, and all of a sudden it's like you need that Karate Kid shower curtain deal. Oh, what's going on here, you know? Everybody starts lowering their voice as they're doing their live streaming. Oh, boy, you know, and Joanna's got a worried look on her face. Okay, so we go through all that, and then guess what? Boom, she strips down nude. She's got that face like some of them actually trying to do like, is this scale right? It was right upstairs, you know, all that bullshit. But anyway, we go through all that, and then now Michelle's presented like, well, now what do you want to do? That's different. But when it's been playing out for a few days, I don't know. I mean, I want her to. I know it sounds like I'm saying like I'm standing up for the UFC. I'm like their attorney.
Yeah.
But I don't know how this one will go down.
All I'm saying is like, all right, I'm going to put on my evil villain UFC face, right? At this point, if somebody says, well, how about we just don't pay her and teach her a lesson? Wouldn't somebody speak up and go, look, we're going to get trounced if we do something like that. However, we can pay her the show. Let's just make her pay on the back end, you know, negotiations, future fights, that sort of thing. Getting back to her, making her life a little bit miserable. Why don't we do it that way than have to do it out in public and say she didn't get paid? I would imagine that a good villain would do it that way.
Yes. In a boardroom, someone's going to say that. In that same boardroom, somebody's going to say, well, but then in the future, other fighters are going to get defiant and stand up for themselves and leave us kind of hanging here, because again, the UFC presented options, you know, to
but
her.
It's Joanna that left them hanging. That's the right thing. That's the big problem. But yeah, I understand. I mean, that's just the way the world works right now, and fighters can't be shocked because these things happen.
24 hours from now, things are going to get interesting in Tampa. And folks, we always stream the weigh-ins, so tune in and check it out, and let's see how it goes. I mean, throughout the day, I'm sure there'll be more stuff on our social media at MMA Junkie, MMAJunkie.com on Instagram. We're at MMA Junkie on Twitter. So, you know, check that out. Follow Mike Bond on Twitter. I'm sure he'll, and Instagram, I'm sure he'll be giving updates. But this has been a pretty interesting little side plot to all this. That said, if the fight goes down, what'd you turn in for your snap pick?
I turned in Joanna, but really, I think you can't make a decision until the actual weigh-in. And it's not so much did she make it, it's what did she look like? You know what? How did she get to that point? Because if she's not looking that good, Michelle Waterson's tough.
She is.
She can make it a nightmare for a lot of people, and she's got good striking as well.
Right.
So if you have
and grappling, man, if this fight finds itself to the ground, and grappling.
If you have a Joanna that's barely making it to the scale, then I think it flip-flops very, very easily. But if she looks pretty decent, I think you stick with your pick of Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
If you put a gun to my head, I'm just going to go with Joanna. I just think she can get it done. She's only lost to the elite, and I'm not sure Waterson's elite yet. This is actually the test right here that tells us. I know Michelle Waterson's damn good. I just don't know if she's elite, like a top three, top five in the world at her
and
division.
And that's not a slight to her at all.
Look at the odds here. +320. You got to bet on her. Yeah. Why are you going to walk up there and go, give me 400 on Joanna to make 100 with all this drama behind the scenes? We don't know what the weight cut's going to do to her. Plus, she's a little chinny, no disrespect, but she does get hit. Even in fights she's won, she's been knocked down, and then there's been fights where she's lost and she's been clipped, and we don't see that as much of that in women's MMA. She's someone that's a little bit susceptible to a heavy shot. And that grappling that we talked about, and then just the whole mental game sometimes, you know what I mean? You know how it is. Someone that was great, you see it in Barao's face. He'll go out there. He looks good. He's fighting. He throws a couple nice kicks. You just remember the old Barao, and then all of a sudden something doesn't start to go their way, and the doubt creeps in on their face.
Yeah.
Swanson and Gracie is the co-main event. Things are heating up over there. Your thoughts on this one?
I love this fight because stylistically it's fun. But now you add in like the little bit of drama that's been going around with the Cub Swanson situation, which I don't know that it's as big a deal as everybody's making it. I mean, to us, it sounds as if you went to every school in California and they all said, nope, you're not a welcome.
Yeah.
And that probably didn't go down, but I'm sure a few that made it inconvenient where maybe he had to drive a little bit more. And we all know in Southern California, that can be pretty brutal. But I don't think it's that big, but it's a fun little subplot. And when you talk to any of the Gracies, we talked to Neiman Gracie, they're not really backing down on their stance as well. So it's really funny. And then aside from that, you just have the whole Cub probably feels bad that a lot of people look at this fight as like maybe like he's a stepping stone, right, in this mm-hmm. process. And you know that that's not a dude that you want to offend that way. Cub Swanson's a very, very tough individual. So I'm totally excited for this fight.
Yeah, so quick recap for those that don't know. Cub Swanson came out last week and said he had trouble just focusing on jiu-jitsu at some of the Gracie jiu-jitsu schools. Well, actually, some of the jiu-jitsu gyms, whether they were a Gracie school or just a line through the lineage of Gracie, they just would not decided not to train Swanson. And then on the field trip that we went to at El Segundo, we ran into Neiman Gracie. We asked him about that. You can check. Probably catch his answer on a future Off Guard video. But, yeah, Gracie was like, nah, man, this is a pretty – the jiu-jitsu world's pretty tight and loyal, and it's not just the Gracie schools. It's even the schools – it could be the Ghost School of jiu-jitsu. But guess what? More than likely, his lineage comes through one of the two Gracie sides, Carlos Gracie or Helio Gracie. Cron Gracie said that he criticized Cub back. He says, what about your gym loyalty, you know? Forget about getting shut out of jiu-jitsu schools. What about your own gym? He says he doesn't believe in people that are kind of like gym hoppers or whatever. So that little thing, that little side plot, and then along with Cub saying I'm not a stepping stone. And goes, this fight could get elevated, by the way. That one option I left out in talking about the main event was they could just scrap that all together, you know, while they figure out what's going to happen to both fighters. And this could get elevated to the main event. So this will be interesting, man. Swanson's on a 4-fight losing streak, if I'm not mistaken, too.
What happens there, though? If they elevate it this late in the game,
I don't think they'll still go five rounds. No, I don't think they'll go five rounds.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess anything.
Who does it benefit if it does?
Anything can change because of money talks, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they pull both fighters in, go, listen, you're the main event, how about we give you an extra fill in the blank G's, and, you know, they might be in. But okay, good question, solid questions. Cub's done the five, no problem.
I think, and that alone makes it,
and Gracie advantage. Hangs out with the Diaz brothers, and I see him doing all those triathlons and getting the swimming in, and you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Xterras, I think they're called. So I would imagine he's also in great shape, but he doesn't have that experience of MMA shape of 25. So I would think Cub would be, you know, chomping at the bit or something like that. Man, now I'm excited about both fights. I really hope they all weigh in, and now I'm pretty excited about these two matchups for Saturday. So, look, we'll leave that there. Look, the card's there on MMA Junkie. Go to schedules, and we got to jump to some news nuggets, and we also want to talk about our field trip, but there are some pretty solid names on this card, including Eric Anders, James Vick going up to welterweight. He tells an interesting story about the fact that he doesn't have to cut to 155. He's feeling like he didn't go through the grind. Mackenzie Dern is back. She just had a baby 4 months ago. And guess what? She showed up to fight week at 120 already. So I don't even think we're going to have any weight-cutting drama with her. And she's probably relieved mm-hmm. that all the focus is on Joanna, because she's usually the one getting asked these types of questions. Max Griffin's on the card. Tim Elliott's back after almost 2 years, excuse me, versus Davison Figueredo. The list goes on and on. Marvin Vettori, shout out to Vettori and Andrew Sanchez. Lots of bad blood there. So check out UFC on ESPN Plus 19. Now it's time for some news nuggets. Well, I guess the big deal is, you know, McGregor and Gaethje and Poirier, you know, they're all kind of pushing each other around or whatever. Dan Hooker, everybody calling each other, you know, like Hooker stepping out of his lane. You know, Gaethje mm-hmm. said, you don't do that to me and Poirier. Gaethje's still trying to, you know, get that fight with Conor McGregor. McGregor, of course, telling Dustin Poirier, beg me, you know. it's getting kind of exciting. And I know this kind of blurs a little bit of what happened at Tyson's Ranch, so I don't want to get too into that. But what's the latest on your feelings there? And then also Khabib and Tony, there's a rumor there goes of them in the first quarter in Russia. Does that sound realistic to you? You know how the UFC is with pay-per-views overseas, and with the time change, it really messes things up here. I mean, that would have to be a super late starting main event, like 6 a.m., because one thing the UFC won't change on a pay-per-view is the 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific start time on a Saturday here in North America.
I think they would do it for what we've been hearing more and more now, even from the fighters. It's just Khabib is one of the, if not the biggest star right now in the UFC. And I think whenever you have a star like that, things get molded a little bit in their direction. They get concessions. And I think this is one that they would do. I think they would,
but
only.
They didn't do it for Conor.
I think they've come close. And
the stadium show?
The stadium. I think eventually they would have done it if he would have kept winning.
I don't think it will, because it's a 12-hour time difference from Moscow. And I just don't know, man. I mean, I'm not saying
how big that would be, though.
I know, but I
still
think
it's... And the only
thing
is the inconvenience on time?
I still think it's Vegas and New York is the big deal. No, it's not just that. Another thing was, I guess, when you do a stadium show, it can have certain expenses that come with that, with the production.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they've been able to do it in Australia. That seems to go off no problem. They've been able to do it in Brazil. But I remember they kept saying it was either a union thing or something to do with that Croke Park, I think it's called, in Dublin, Ireland. And it said it had to do with production. So I don't know if maybe it was production. You know what it had to do with, I think, was after a certain time, there's a curfew. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do a stadium show, that's the problem with it. Now, maybe Moscow means it can be in a 20,000-seat arena. Who knows? But I still feel like that fight's either Vegas or New York. Khabib can... Now, Khabib versus Conor is a different story. I think, you know, when you're talking about record-breaking, yeah. But I think that one would happen here. That's my thought.
I mean, the only thing I can think of that would really, really get in the way is maybe just their history. You know, how many times they've been lined up and that fight not actually happen. Maybe that's enough to not take a big risk like that.
In your, you know, the weekly roundup of McGregor, we know Khabib and Tony's next. Who should co-main event? Who versus McGregor? Is it Gaethje versus McGregor?
I like Justin Gaethje.
Me too.
I feel like that's the perfect matchup for that to happen.
Right.
I don't know
that
the UFC wants
it. The Poiriers, the Hookers, the Cowboys, all of them, they can figure out what they want to do. But I think we've already pinned it down to Gaethje versus McGregor, mm-hmm, and Tony versus Khabib.
Yeah.
And it should be on the same card, right?
It'll be fun, too. Yeah. I mean,
because remember, the main event is jinxed. So now the UFC gets their big wish where Conor McGregor would just slip in. I imagine they would choose him over Justin Gaethje. Excuse me. But
there's a lot to that. It depends where it is. I mean, they would have to really have a good sit-down talk with all the parties involved, because even though Conor McGregor would have Justin Gaethje in front of him, we can't pretend like there's no history between Khabib and Conor and the people surrounding those fighters, especially if you're going to New York. You know what I mean? So they would definitely need a sit-down talking to. But that would be a lot of money and salary.
What do you think of the whole Jones and Adesanya rivalry? I mean, they're not even in the same division.
It's silly.
But it's starting to amp up. But I thought John Jones kind of had, you know, we usually pick on John Jones because he just doesn't usually get it right, whether it's his comebacks or his original tweets or it's the things he says. Or he's trying to be this person, that person. But he said, "I'm not out here searching for Dragon Ball Z fans. I'm in pursuit of these history books being mentioned with history's greatest combatants ever." He writes, "Fucking nerd." I'm like, whoa, man. And then Izzy, of course, is usually pretty money with his stuff. He told Ariel Helwani, he said, he is just jealous. He sees the freshman that's taking all the shine. And it kind of does remind me of my high school days. If there was a freshman out there, I could see your senior or junior getting their feathers ruffled. You know, mm-hmm, like, oh, man, like, we paid our dues.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a... I've always thought it was just silly to even think about, because I feel like that fight is just so far away. But the more and more they pick at each other, the more and more when you interview a Dana White or something, he's going to have more of an opinion on that subject. And it's because of that, you know, it's us that at the end of the day are going to be building that fight for people. So I don't want to see it just yet. The problem is John Jones has no dance partners. He needs a guy like that to poke him, to provoke him, to create some sort of heat, right? If you get like a Corey Anderson to do that, no disrespect to Corey, but it's not going to have the same effect as like an Israel Adesanya. So he needs dance partners. So right now he needs Israel Adesanya to poke and prod at him, to bring it out of him. But really that matchup doesn't make sense now. And I don't even want to see it for at least a year and a half.
Here's what Dana White's thinking. I'm telling you right now. Dana White's thinking, Adesanya, you just won. I love you to death, but you just won. But you got Costa waiting for you. Costa's almost as automatic as Tony Ferguson. Maybe a step down. But he's there. Mm-hmm. Undefeated. They got beef between them and all that. Bones, if Johnny Walker looks good against Corey Anderson, it's you versus Johnny Walker. And if Corey Anderson shuts down Johnny Walker, then he'll have four straight, and it could be Anderson versus Jones, but only as a buildup. See, when you see the face you made when I told you Walker versus Jones, you're thinking, ooh, fireworks.
I think he's going to be
Anderson
a star too.
Versus Jones doesn't give you the ooh, fireworks. It just gives you the, okay, that guy, he deserves it because he earned his title shot now at four straight. He's been piping up, and he took that assignment of Walker when possibly he could have gotten it now. Because remember Thiago Santos and the guys prior to that, Anthony Smith, I don't think they had to go through four straight. You know what I mean? So he's kind of done a little bit above and beyond. But they would be keeping an eye because, you know, the UFC likes to forecast, and they'd be saying, we think Jones can get past him, and if Adesanya gets past Costa, that could be the show. So the fight goes that goes down in this stadium right across here from the Mandalay Bay. We've been asking
Raider
fighters
stadium.
That evergreen question. What do you think is going to be the first fight that goes down? I'm telling you, it could be Jones and Adesanya.
Jones and Adesanya.
But they both have an opponent to get by because there's already pretty good heat brewing right now. You know what I mean?
I still feel like Adesanya is a hardcore name yet. I don't know that if if you walk into the sports book right now and you ask, usually we do the 20 people, but I'll even give you a bigger demographic. If we were to ask 50 people, man, I think less than 10 people know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. But it doesn't mean that they still can't sell a million pay-per-views or 2 million pay-per-views.
They would really, a lot would have to happen between now and then.
Because remember, I'll use the same example. March Madness starts, and you go out there and go, hey, man, you heard of Khabib Nurmagomedov? There's a lot of people that are like, no, man.
I think at this point,
I can watch Villanova versus North Carolina.
Don't you think more would know who Khabib is than Israel Adesanya?
Maybe because
I got a gun to your head right now, George.
Maybe because of McGregor. Maybe because of McGregor, yes, Khabib.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I guess more than Israel Adesanya. But the point is, the UFC wants to get in that stadium at some point, right?
And they will.
They're not going to wait like, oh, man, it's been 3 years since the stadium opened. We still don't. I think they'll shove something in there, and that's what I'm trying to figure out what it's going to be. Of course, McGregor versus Khabib is kind of a slam dunk. I would say Khabib versus Tony, except that fight will go down a lot sooner than the stadium will open. So it's a little bit of a game trying to figure that out. It's rumored that will be open. We know in time for GSP. September's kickoff. Well, that's another great name.
Yeah.
All right. That could be a whole other rabbit hole we go down, and then we'll never come out of that one. Hey, how about this one? Jason Knight versus Artem Lobov, part two over at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships 9. That's the main event. It's a fight that's going to go down in November. Look, man, this is an MMA show, but those are two MMA fighters who were pretty fun when they were in the sport. And now that they've stepped outside of the sport, they had themselves a classic over at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 5, I believe it was. For them to have a part two, I know they don't have like this big stable of fighters, but I think it's the right call.
I think it's a good call.
You got to just milk the little roster that they have.
It all depends, unfortunately, on something that we just don't know. And that's what the financials are, the situation that Bare Knuckle's in. If they feel like everything's pretty steady and everything's working correctly, then maybe you try and build that fight a little bit more. But if they're going kind of like paycheck to paycheck, in other words, show to show, then yeah, you got to strike when that iron's hot. And we all remember. I mean, there's people outside of combat sports that saw that fight that was just like, wow, this is amazing. I think now would be the time to strike if that's the case.
Rampage versus Vader, react. I don't think I have to build that one up. Well, this is what happened.
This is an awesome fight.
Those are two great
10
names,
years man. Ago. You know, that's the problem. You have to look at it for what it is. It's his last fight. It's in Japan.
Did he say it's his last fight?
It's supposed to be. That's like the whole thing that's been surrounding why they're doing
Fedor?
It. Yeah, that's why it's in Japan. That's why it's in Japan. That's why it's against a guy like Rampage. But you know how many times have we heard it's Fedor's last fight? So who knows? But, I mean, come on.
Rampage is even older, isn't he?
Older than Fedor?
I'll look at it while you talk. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard this is going to be Fedor Emelianenko's last fight? And then something happens. Can you imagine if you were to start Rampage like really quick? Would he really retire? Putting in just a little bit of ring work. I don't know. I don't see it, but I'm glad that it's happening in Japan. I'm glad that it's a guy like Rampage. I hope they make a really, really big deal out of this whole thing, because that's a guy that does deserve it. He did a lot for mixed martial arts. And
Fedor's 43, Rampage is 41. So they're both up there. So, but I guess the point is it could be either one.
But they're both going to do
guy's last fight.
They're going to do something that we're all expecting. You know, I think they're gonna throw. They really are. I don't think it's not gonna be a chess match at all. So this is something that even at a high age, they still got that power. We'll see what happens.
Goes, we're gonna be Roman Coliseum gladiator fans in a few days here at the Mandalay Bay, man. PFL, we get to see these fighters throw down two times in one night. You excited?
And when I walked into Mandalay Bay today just to see the billboards, the signs all over the hotel, the area where they're going to do the weigh-ins. It's got a couple stuff now already. I'm pretty stoked, man. It's cool. We don't get MMA as much as we used to here at Mandalay Bay, but this is going to be 3 weeks of it. I'm stoked.
You stoked about Tito Ortiz versus Alberto El Patron, a Combate America's pay-per-view on December 7th?
Not at pay-per-view, but I'm definitely one of those guys that will find a way to tune in, but pay-per-view-wise, I just don't know. It's pay-per-view means you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fight where just tell me what happened. I would be okay with that.
You know what would be perfect is if Bare Knuckle and Combates came together. You know, just
that
one pay-per-view
and
just kind of switch things back and forth.
Knight and Loboff have made it where I can't miss that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, look, there's a lot of news, and you can cover it. You can catch it on the front page of MMAJunkie.com, but we got to talk about our field trip in El Segundo. A couple of days ago, we went to the Tyson's Ranch. All right, I keep mixing up my grammar. I apologize. It's basically called Tyson Ranch. Mm-hmm. Or you can say Tyson's Ranch. You know, it's his ranch, I guess. He's the name there. And it's a business that he's involved in. The great Mike Tyson, former heavyweight boxing champion. He's in the cannabis world. And so that's basically the type of that's what we went to, the type of business we went to. Legal all over California, Nevada. So we've been in these before. At least I have. And but it was real cool that a superstar name like Mike Tyson was attached to this right around the corner from the Lakers facility. I was really excited to be back in California. And the reason we were there is it was a Dominance MMA media day. Dominance MMA is the management group led by Ali Abdel Aziz, controversial figure in the sport of mixed martial arts, but no doubt one of the biggest stables and most impressive stables that you can find. Ali's definitely built that bad boy up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, when you look at who was there, it's a who's of mixed martial arts from top to bottom. I mean, if they're not a superstar, they're a budding superstar. It was fun. It was a really good time, and it was nice to see all the fighters in one room like that.
Cody Garbrandt is part of Dominance MMA. Corey Anderson, Fabricio Werdum, Henry Cejudo, Kamaru Usman, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Justin Gaethje, Frank, yeah, did I say that? I don't know. I'm probably going to repeat myself. Frank, Anthony Johnson, Claudia Gadelha. And really, folks, the list could go on and on. Benil Dariush.
Marlon Moraes.
Aaron Pico.
Bubba Jenkins.
You know, it was pretty amazing to see Cejudo
and
Moraes kind of next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and you're asking one guy, what's it take to get back in there? You know, I'm going to knock his block off. But they're literally right next to each other. But everybody, you know what goes? Wouldn't you almost say it was a perfect day in terms of there was no drama? Like
none at all. Not even like joking apart. Drama.
Yeah, exactly. Not even anything close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody handled it pretty good. And if you think about it, just Marais, Edgar, Cejudo, and Garbrandt, they're all in the same division.
Yeah.
And they all are championship material. So Ali's got to play that game of, you know, like, hey, this is my guy. He's next without upsetting the others. But here's the other thing goes, how about the fact that Ali, I started off by saying the controversial Ali Abdelaziz, because he is very controversial in our sport. If anything, he got a lot of love from his guys, and he pulled off a great event in terms of what he was there to accomplish.
Well, I mean, say what you will about Ali Abdelaziz. Really, in that situation, it's one of those things where if I'm the guy planning, I tell everyone, look, there's going to be drama. There's no way you can get that many fighters in one room and there not be even accidental, playful drama. So just be prepared for it. This is a serious case where nothing even came anywhere close. Two guys that just fought each other. Like, Marlon Moraes' spirit was crushed by Triple G sitting right next to
Triple C.
And you would never expect anything. Like, they look like the best of friends. They were just sitting there chilling. And I think it really goes to say, to the level of respect that these guys have for
their
manager.
There were Ali chants by the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we see that a lot on social media. And what Ali gets accused of is, well, he's got their Twitter handle passwords. It's probably him or whatever. And even Ali would probably not deny, all right, I've probably gone in there.
But you can tell when he's done it and when he's not.
Exactly.
You can tell.
And if it's happened, it's a low percentage of times. Maybe it's just because somebody forgot to do something and they're working out. He might be in the room. You often see him on Embedded. He's in the room. Somebody's working out. He'll put something on behalf of them. But a lot of times when he's getting attacked, you see the fighters rally to him. And now we actually saw it in person. Not that he was getting attacked, but just the fact that all the fighters felt really good. A lot of them suited up. A lot of them were there. And they were rubbing elbows with other great fighters. I'm sure some of them may have never met before. But again, it all went off pretty smooth. Remember, Fabricio Verdum's coming back soon. He wants to be a world champ. Well, guess what? Anthony Johnson was saying, hey, I'm coming back too. But he didn't say anything about, like, the road to the title. He wants big fights quick. Because remember, he's going to be coming back as a heavyweight. I think people were matching him up versus possibly Ngannou and, you know, the winner of Miocic and
that would
DC
be
if he sticks around. So, like I say, there was just so many scenarios where you thought, well, somebody on the other side of the dais might grab the mic and say, hey, slow down, partner. You know, I got dreams of my own. But again, man, it was kumbaya. Maybe they all were just potted up or something, and everybody was in too good of a mood. And you know, maybe if there was alcohol there, it would have been different, right?
Well, yeah, even then.
Shout
like,
out the pot, I guess.
Like, if they're not going to go at each other or divisions or anything like that, you would think that just one of them would try to outshine everyone else, like be the superstar, the class clown or something. But they were all just so chill. And I really think it just comes down to the respect that they have for their manager.
They do. And for the setting. And again, it was Tyson's ranch.
Maybe so that maybe, had something to do with it.
Maybe just the fact that, hey, man, A, we can't disrespect Mike Tyson. B, it seems like Ali does do a lot for his guys, and look what he did for us. We were estimating, you and I were joking around, of what that could have cost if Ali had to actually write the check. For one, the catered food was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they handled it pretty good. We had a little bit of a parking incident, but that got solved pretty quickly. I think it was just a mix-up. But, you know, that pretty much ran smoothly. We had to get shuttled from a location in El Segundo to Tyson's Ranch. Then once we got in there, it was, okay, grab some food. There's a few drinks here. Inside, it was set up really, really nice. And then, for the most part, I mean, it got off the ground, and it was great. Like, I even was observing other media, and other media, you know, The Athletic was there, ESPN was there, Karen Bryan was there. Everybody that was there, I think, was, you know, pretty much nodding in approval, like, hey, this was a success.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's Pitbull? Did we ever figure out who the hell that Pitbull was that was walking around
scaring
people? He kind
of stole the show, yeah.
I mean, it was a cool dog, super cool dog, but just randomly, if you didn't know he was there, he'd creep up on you. Go, what the hell? But yeah, it's got to be Tyson's dog, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if – I don't know. Does Tyson still live in Vegas or Arizona?
I've heard he has places in Arizona, Vegas, and I guess California.
Maybe
yeah.
California, yeah. Who knows?
And you know what?
Apparently, that's
going
to get big. Apparently, they're going to go to Palm Desert, and they're going to have a really big facility. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, this thing's really getting ready to blow up. But that right there is maybe like their little headquarters, possibly.
There was a lot of nostalgia too, because the setting for this ranch is located just, I'm talking, steps away from where the old R1 gym is.
Yeah.
For people who don't know what that was the Raw team that was led by Rico Ciparelli, but guys like Randy Couture, Dan Henderson, Vladimir Matechenko, Frank Trigg. They who else was part of that team that trained back in the day?
Well,
in that
originally
gym?
When it was Raw, it was Dan Henderson, Randy Couture, Frank Trigg. Real American Wrestling is what it stood for. Mm-hmm. Rico Ciparelli, who actually wrestled at Iogas for Dan Gable. And so then after that, you know, a couple guys went the Quest route, and then mm-hmm. a couple guys moved to Vegas. And it just became R1.
But that was,
I think,
like
that Raw
team,
infringed on WWE. I think they had a brush up with that word, you know, Raw, R-A-W. So, yeah, that was one of the, for sure, one of the late 90s first teams that got together, much like Brazilian Top Team, Shootbox.
Mm-hmm. John Cena and Samoa Joe started their wrestling careers.
Correct.
There. They used to have a wrestling ring there.
Correct, yeah. So, yeah, it was right around the corner. So we definitely have memories from that. But, man, overall, it was a fun trip out. Got to see the managing editor, Simon Simano, for a bit. A few of our guys were out there, mm-hmm. Dave and John, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's a lot of recaps on the front page of MMA Junkie right now from basically the catch-up that we had with these fighters. And then we're hoping that a few of our off-guards make it as well, where we just kind of stepped outside of the box of, you know, the questions that you're used to hearing. We try to have a little bit of fun. So hopefully you'll see that. And if you do, please share them, retweet them. It really does help us out. That's kind of our new thing. And again, big names were there. Just the champions alone, like three world titles were represented, with Triple C's two titles and Kamaru Usman's one title. Khabib was not there, but that would have been a fourth title that mm-hmm. that Dominance MMA can brag about.
Yeah, then who knows what happens here with Kayla Harrison soon.
Kayla Harrison, next month. Yeah, tune in, folks. Look, all the info is on Junkie. Hey, when's PFL? Who's fighting on the card? Go to schedule at the top of the top of the website there. That tab will tell you that. All the stories are right there in front of you in blog form. If you want to check it out, all the recaps from the Dominance MMA Media Day. And, of course, don't forget, if you go to more and do the drop-down, that's where you can hit radio and cast a lot of the previous episodes. We're closing in on 3,000 shows, folks. Pretty excited about that. Rankings. USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie every Tuesday do rankings that cover all of mixed martial arts, not just the UFC. That way you know, well, where does Musasi fit in? You know, he's a Bellator guy. Or how about Demetrius Johnson out at ONE Championship? How does he fit into the scheme? How have we voted him in? Catch all that in rankings. We got to get out of here because we went a little far. But, again, so much to talk about. PFL news, BKFC news, Combate, and, of course, the UFC and Bellator. Great times to be an MMA fan.
Oh, for sure.
Sorry about your Dodgers, by the way.
Brutal, dude. You know that never happened. Have you seen what's going on in Major League Baseball? Two teams that were over 100 wins in the regular season are out in the first round.
The Braves won over 100 games?
Yeah, the Braves are gone. And the Astros have been pushed to game 5 tonight.
And
they've gone over 100 too.
13-1, right?
Dude, it at makes home. No sense.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, that's it for today. We are out of here. For Goz, I'm George. Go out there and be a champion.